Well, good morning, everybody. How we pray is how we live. And I think each of our readings today has a lesson for us about how to pray and how to live. And the first reading from Amos chapter 8, God tells us that He will not forget our offenses against the poor. The prayer that I'm thinking of is a prayer of solidarity, a prayer of putting ourselves in another person's shoes, realizing that we are all one family. St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta said, if we're always too busy judging each other, we have no time to love each other. And sometimes I have to tell you, I have to confess that I'll be in the office or around the property, you know, during the day, and somebody will come up and ask for money or ask for help. They'll come to the office or they'll find me as I cross the parking lot. Seems like it happens a lot. And I have to remind myself in those moments, it's a soul. It's a soul that is before me. Like this person in front of me has an eternal soul that God has put in front of me in order to love. And a prayer of solidarity, it does sort of start with a kind of empathy, of kind of, let me put myself in that person's shoes. There's envelopes if you want to put a donation in there for the folks in Gaza, but for example, it's to say like, let me pray for those people because what are they going through? What if that was me? Who was the priest of that one Catholic church, Holy Family in Gaza? What if that was you, your son, your daughter, your... It's a thing of, let me put myself in somebody else's shoes. We're all a family that God has put together in Jesus. And so this prayer of solidarity, when we can truly pray for others and realize it's a soul, you know, that we then can live in solidarity. Because if we're praying that way, and our hearts are turned to that sort of a posture, then we're going to live a life realizing that nobody is, you're not my enemy, you know, like we're all in this thing. Solidarity, prayer of solidarity, life of solidarity. First reading. Second reading. Woo! I love this. I love this line here in our second reading. It's the last line from 1 Timothy here in verse 8 of chapter 2. It is my wish then that in every place the men should pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or argument. I love it. You know, I had the biggest crush on this girl in college, and she was not Catholic, so I would go to her non-denominational church, and then I would take her to the Catholic Mass. And I will tell you, that was my first experience of this, of hands raised up praising the good Lord. And of course, I am a German, and I thought to myself when I first started going, I thought, I'm not going to do that, you know. Well, I started doing that, and it was amazing what happened when I started to actually enter into that prayer, and lift up my hands, my arms, and praise the Lord. This is a posture of surrender to the good Jesus. This is a posture of, it's all yours, Lord. Yours be the glory, yours be the power, yours be the praise, now and forever. This is a posture of such beauty. This is a posture of, I don't care. This is a posture of, I'm closed. This is a posture And praise the Lord, there's a charismatic, I'm thinking of charismatic prayer and charismatic living in the second reading. There's a charismatic renewal going around because we are realizing as a Catholic Church, and you know who my hero in that movement is, Father Paul. God rest his soul. Father Paul taught me about how beautiful it is to find a priest who is charismatic. Charismata, the Greek, spirit-filled. And that we should have, because we're Catholic, we are the church that Jesus at Pentecost breathed his Holy Spirit upon. We can never be like the frozen chosen. We have to be alive, animated. The second reading says, this is how I wish you would pray. Lifting up holy hands. Yours, praise you, Jesus. Now, we can argue about whether that should be in the Mass or not. But there should be other opportunities. Many of us experienced that at the Eucharistic Congress. Last year, when we were 50, 60,000 people packed together at Lucas Oil Stadium, going like this. Praising the good Jesus for all he's done. You know, this is surrender, this is praise. And when we praise the Lord, we forget all of our junk, all of our pettiness, all of our little things that would just sort of consume us. And we get lost in the glory of the good Jesus. And maybe you're not comfortable doing that publicly, but do it sometime. In your car, do it when you're alone in the Adoration Chapel, kneeling before the Lord. Put your hands up. I'm telling you, it's going to do something for your soul. The posture with which we pray, this is why we kneel at Mass. This is why we hold our hands well. Because how we pray is how we believe, is how we live. And if we are praying charismatically, then we are living charismatically. We are praying Spirit-filled, we're living Spirit-filled. And holy smokes, it makes all the difference in the world. It makes all the difference in the world. The Bible tells us right here, this is how I wish you would pray, says God. Lifting up your hands. So find a time. Do it in the bathroom with the door closed. Do it in your car. Do it at the chapel. Do it sometime. And praise God, we have NCYC coming around the corner. And it's an excellent experience because tens of thousands of high school kids are going to be at Lucas Oil. And maybe they've never done this before in their life. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to do something amazing for them. And so, praying charismatically, living charismatically. The gospel is the last thing I want to think about. This is a very perplexing gospel. But what it made me to think about is reparation. Because what did this steward do? He used his position to lessen the debts of other people. What are prayers of reparation? We see the word repair in that, in the word reparation. Prayers of reparation are prayers whereby we seek to lessen the debts of others. By their offenses and indifference towards God. You remember when the angel of peace came to the three children of Fatima, Saint Francisco, Saint Jacinta, and Saint Lucia, and the angel of peace taught them the second time he came in that apparition in Portugal. He taught them this prayer: Most Holy Trinity, I adore thee profoundly. I offer thee the most precious body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, present in all the tabernacles of the world, in reparation for all the outrages, sacrileges, and indifferences by which he himself is offended. And prayers of reparation are those prayers by which we seek to compensate somewhat for the indifferences of others. Saint Faustina has a really good image in her diary here on number 57. She says that when she prays prayers of reparation, she said, it is as though I am taking my heart and divided it into a million pieces to make up for a million souls who do not love you, Jesus. And you see, what we can do in our position of closeness to the Lord is that we can pray prayers of reparation, of repairing for those who know not the Lord Jesus or who love him not. And it's very powerful. Very powerful. It looks like a rosary offered for somebody, a holy hour offered for somebody, a mass offered for somebody, all sorts of prayers of reparation. And if it's just like solidarity. We pray with solidarity, we will start to live that way. We pray charismatically with spirit, we will live charismatically. And true, if we pray prayers reparation, we will live lives of reparation. We will live lives of repairing the brokenness that is all around us, the sinfulness that is all around us. And so, friends, today, praise the Lord. I think our readings just offer us an important opportunity to evaluate our prayer life, especially in these three categories, and to ask the good Lord to keep us alive always in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.